Well, everybody, the heart being the seat of life, or the seat of faith. For with the heart, Paul says in Romans, one believes unto righteousness. Remember, we also went back to Deuteronomy, and we looked at that great injunction on the nation of Israel that they were to love the Lord thy God with all their heart, and with all their mind, with all their strength, mind and might, soul and might. And indeed, the heart was something that the Lord searched and the Lord wanted to see in all service. And what I was trying to say in that matter, that the very fact that God called upon a worship from the heart was indeed one of the seed elements of justification. That the heart, not lip service, not formalism, was what God really, really wanted from the nation of Israel. So that was just a bit of a recap of those things. And then we went to Romans chapter 3, didn't we? And we gave ourselves, as it were, a bit of a launch pad out of verse 21. In Romans 3, we remember in verse 9 that Jews and Greeks were all under sin. There's none righteous, no, not one, verse 10. We found in verse 19 that, but we know that whatsoever the things the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be under judgment before God. Now, we need to be careful that we don't think that only the Jews were under the law, because the law, remember, by the law is the knowledge of sin. And by the law, the entire world is under sin, under judgment, all guilty. But by faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, of course, Romans 6:14, we're no longer under the law and its all guilty verdict, but we are under grace and made righteous by faith coming from the heart. So then, in verse 21 of Romans chapter 3, we have this wonderful statement, but now. And there are some, without mentioning anybody by name, there are some who think that the but now means that, well, you see, not under law anymore, the old dispensation of the law is over, and now a new dispensation given particularly to the Apostle Paul has been revealed. Well, no, that's reading a little bit eisegetically. It's from a presumptive position, but now the righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law, i.e. the works being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, the law and the prophets testified about the righteousness of God by faith, from the heart, and through God's gracious reckoning. You'll remember last time, just revision, I went to Romans chapter 16 and showed you another but now. The revelation of the mystery, one which had been unvoiced during eternal times. And that mystery was the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery of the Apostle Paul. Here's a mystery that was unvoiced. And we also have a but now. It has been made plain, plainly testified by the prophetic scriptures. Not what Paul was writing or anyone else was writing for that matter. Paul having referred in Romans 15 to the fact that those things written before. You'll remember also that we went to show this juxtaposition of what was previously testified, but what was now made plain. We also went to Hebrews chapter 9. And in Hebrews chapter 9, I tried to point out that there was Paul writing in chapter 9 about the services of the first tabernacle. He speaks about the high priest, verse 7, once a year entering into the Holy of Holies, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Verse 8, the Holy Spirit signifying by this that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. Verse 9, for it was a figure. Do you see? We have this testimony. In Romans, twice in Romans. We have this testimony in Hebrews chapter 9. We have this testimony that Scripture witnessed to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of sins and justification by faith coming from the heart by the gracious reckoning of God. The access to God was not in the bloods of bulls and goats, was it? And the sprinkling of an asher, etc., etc. It was in the one true offering, Christ Himself. And linked with that one true offering and this great purging of the conscience was the accompanying truth about our heart that yearned for God and that believed what was written. So in Hebrews 9, verse 11, I might say, but now, do you see? There were figures. There were significations, a sign, if you will, in the first tabernacle. But now, do you see, when Christ had become a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, etc., etc., you see, nor by the blood of bulls and goats, verse 12 goes on to say. What I'm trying to do with these scriptures is demonstrate to you that the but now of Romans chapter 3 doesn't of itself necessarily mean that there'd been a complete change of dispensation. And what I'm trying to do in this series is demonstrate to each and every one of us, and from the scriptures, hopefully, with sincerity, demonstrate that justification by faith must be left in its dispensational setting. When we came back to Galatians 3, where we spent a bit of time last week, we remember in Galatians chapter 3, this same principle that the scriptures testified to something can be found. In Galatians 3, we have in verse 24, the statement by Paul that the law had become a trainer or a schoolmaster. Here it comes. Until Christ. Do you see the but now in a reverse sense here? The law was a trainer or a schoolmaster to bring the believers, the Jews and Gentiles of the Acts period, to believe, bring them to Christ. The law convicting everybody of sin, but showing in the law that faith and the heart was what God was looking for. Therefore, the very means on one hand of proving that man in his own effort couldn't justify himself, two, proving on the other hand and showing and demonstrating through the very sacrificial system that there was coming one upon whom righteousness would be found by faith in him and the reckoning of God. I hope I'm making it a bit clearer tonight. Paul doesn't say in Galatians 3:24 that the law was a schoolmaster to bring the believing Jews and Gentiles to the dispensation of the grace of God. The mystery of Ephesians 3 was still hidden in God at this point. No, the law was a trainer. It taught of faith. It taught about the perfect offering, substitution, the vicarious offering of Christ, identification, the laying on of hands. All those wonderful things were in the law as a schoolmaster. And indeed, I hinted at one point, didn't I, from Luke 18, that the Lord himself had spoken about the heart. Not directly, perhaps, but certainly there was the Pharisee who was beating on his chest. Remember that? He was paying lip service. And then there was, and I won't make a joke about a Republican, because there are some Democrats in the room, possibly American politicians. But you know, there was the tax collector who couldn't lift his eyes to heaven, right? Struck himself saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, we have an outward manifestation of righteousness. We have a one throwing himself on the other hand, on the mercy of God, having from within himself a heart, recognizing his own condition and appealing to God. So you see, friends, the Lord said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Do you see? There is, on the one hand, the law manifested in the life of one who didn't have the heart, whereas there is another who showed from the heart a repentant attitude and was justified. How could that man be justified? He was justified by faith, found in the gospel, but of course revealed more fully after the one offering had been made, Christ himself offering himself without spot to God. Yes, the law, a schoolmaster, writes Paul in Galatians, until Christ, but now, where justification by faith is made known. Now, returning to Galatians, for just a couple more points of revision, and I thank you for your patience, and I really have no concerns within myself at just recapping like this. I think it's important for everybody, including the speaker. And I remind you, in verse 14 of Galatians chapter 2, we have an incident, don't we? And in that incident, Peter and Barnabas, by their actions, were giving credibility to the Judaizers who wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised and keep the whole law, Acts 15, verse 1. Now, what Peter was doing, he was giving weight to this argument, and that's what Paul couldn't tolerate. And he said to Peter, he said, now, if you, being a Jew, live as a Gentile, now why is that? Well, Peter was eating with the Gentiles before those from James arrived. Why do you compel the nations to Judaize? It's amazing, isn't it? Particularly when we remember that Peter, at the council in Acts 15, said that God by faith had purified the hearts, making no difference. Peter, the very one who was given the vision about food. Now here's what's so important for us to remember, and I'm recapping it. In verse 15, Paul goes on to say, we Jews, and I'm just going to take it out, we Jews by nature, if you will, we who are born Jews, know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. He said, we Jews know. Paul didn't stand up and say, I'm the only Jew in this room who knows, or I'm the only Jew to whom this truth was given. And so I suggested also in this series that it was Christ who taught Peter, it was Christ who taught Paul. In Luke 24:45, Christ opened the disciples' understanding to understand the scriptures. And if we have it quite plainly spelled out that the law was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ, you think that redemption and forgiveness and justification, Christ left off the teaching podium? When he was teaching Peter and the 11? I don't think so. It was the very essence of redemption. That great covering that was brought about by the offering. Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. It was Abel who brought the blood. It was Adam and Eve who were covered with coats of skin. You don't think Christ taught about that and his own offering now that he had been resurrected and redemption was to be proclaimed? I don't think we're going to mark our Saviour as being a half-hearted or teacher who only taught half the truth. No. We do know that Peter had a mission or a commission or an apostleship to the circumcision, which include water baptism according to all the types and prophecy that went upon the Jews. But don't forget, water baptism came about after the deliverance by blood. Water baptism was in the cloud and in the sea, after blood had been shed. And how many try and twist that doctrine out of place and say that the Jews were saved because they were water baptized? Don't think so. Anyway, and I also briefly went to 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16, didn't I? Where the context was the apparent delayed coming of the Lord, but the long-suffering Peter writes about was for the repentance and the salvation of many, and those things Paul was writing about. And that's what Peter was referring to when he said some of the things that he writes about are difficult. And Peter had not one ounce of anything in that chapter which says Paul was writing about justification by faith and Peter didn't understand it. So we put that to rest as well. Now we come to back and pick up our theme out of Galatians tonight, remembering that Romans says this, Romans 3:21, that the righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And what I want to do tonight is go through Galatians 3 again. And you said, well, this is, you know, we've already had this. But no, I want to put justification by faith through grace in its dispensational setting. And what I want to do is to now show, when Paul is writing Galatians, that he is writing justification straight out of the law. Yes, it had to be revealed to him, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as touching the law blameless, but had to be revealed to him, didn't it? And I want to show how effective it was revealed to him, and I want to show tonight the dispensational setting of justification by faith. So, I hope this is of benefit to you, those listening, and may our Lord Christ be glorified as we see that justification by faith is set in the earthly purpose of God, indeed the Israel of God, those who have a heart of faith, who heard the word and believed and were the blessed recipients of justification, but were at the same time looking for an inheritance on the earth. But I won't get ahead of myself. Now, in Galatians 3, and I'm using Galatians, remember, I will come back to Romans, but we're in Galatians because it is my view that Galatians was written before Romans, and possibly Galatians, the first of Paul in the Acts period, although I wouldn't hang upon it. Now then, Galatians 3, verse 2. Now you say, well, I thought this was about justification by faith. Well, friends, the argument that Paul is following through this chapter is, did you get this by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And this is what he starts with. Number one, this only what I learned from you, you foolish Galatians, he says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, there's only one answer to that rhetorical question, but it's the Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit did not come by the works of the law. It was faith, and there's another word I want to bring in. It was also promise. Faith and promise. Now, I'm not going to go too far, friends, to find the promise. Remember, the law and the prophets, pardon me while I jump into the law and show the promise. Here comes the prophet. And writing, the prophet says, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Isaiah 44, verse 1, and Israel, whom I have chosen, so says Jehovah, who had made you and formed you from the womb. I knew the Apostle Paul would be very interested in that little reference, wouldn't he, since he was separated from his mother's womb. Who will help you? Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your seed, and my blessing on your offspring. Did you notice that the giving of the Holy Spirit was by promise and received by faith? So justification by faith is in a context in Galatians where supernatural gifts were also by faith and promise testified in the law and the prophets. Do I get that clear? Have I made that really well tonight? And now what are we going to do? Are we going to take justification by faith out of Galatians 3 and quite with a little bit of nervousness put aside the fact that the very ones who were justified by faith in the Acts period had supernatural gifts? What are we going to do with the supernatural gifts? Oh, well, they were for them back then, but they're not for us now. We'll just take justification. Oh, no. Can't do that, folks. Justification by faith in Paul is in harmony and company with supernatural gifts when literal water will be poured on dry ground, just as Israel were watered in the wilderness by the rock that followed them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, they were blessed with manna, they were blessed with water, and supernatural gifts were the lot of Israel in the Old Testament, and you can read Numbers 11. Here is a setting then. The but now hasn't changed the purpose of prophecy about supernatural gifts, has it? The fact that they received them by faith didn't mean that there'd be a change of dispensation. Now did it? Because the supernatural gifts which were promised were now the blessed lot of those at the Acts period who believed. Faith, verb and noun. Verse 5 of Galatians, let's go straight on to verse 5 of Galatians. He's supplying the Spirit to you and working powerful works among you. Here it comes. Is it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, the answer is supplied in the next verse. Verse 6, even as. Do you see the link that I am trying to make is more clearly made in the scripture? Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. The gifts of the Spirit were provided by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham believed God. We cannot separate justification by faith and supernatural gifts. And where did Abraham believe God? Well, you know, I'm going to jump back and just post the verse for you. And here is justification by faith out of the law. Now that was well known, and I just threw it in there, Genesis 15 verse 6. That's what Paul is referring to right here, when he's affirming that the supernatural gifts were by the hearing of faith. He goes to Genesis 15 6 and quotes it in Galatians 3 verse 6 as evidence that the supernatural gifts were by faith, just as righteousness was by faith. Can't separate them, can we? Because Paul didn't. And it isn't right division to say, oh, the supernatural gifts are not ours, when we want to make justification by faith the beginning of a dispensation of the grace of God, which is ours. Can't do that in Galatians, can we? Can't do that in Galatians. Now let's go down. In verse 7 of Galatians, therefore know that those of faith, these are the sons of Abraham. Those of faith, these are the sons of Abraham. Oh, pardon me, let's jump back to Genesis 15, verse 6. Did you know that Abraham had pleaded with the Lord, and this is what he said, I don't have any sons. He said, what will you give me, since I'm going childless, and the steward of a house is my Eliezer of Damascus? I don't have any sons, says Abram. Isn't that wonderful? That Jew and Gentile of faith are the sons of Abraham in Galatians chapter 3. Do you see what I mean about Galatians being a template straight over the top of Genesis 15? And the Lord said, you have given no seed to me. I don't have any seed. Oh well, he had a seed in Galatians chapter 3, now didn't he? Isn't that a wonderful thing, how these things work together? Therefore, we wouldn't want to be taking justification by faith and the fact that they were the sons of Abraham, the Jews and Gentiles of faith, when Paul wrote Romans. We can't separate the fact that the Jews and Gentiles of Galatians were the sons of Abraham. We can't throw that away because we want justification by faith through grace to be the beginning of the revelation of the mystery. Now, can we? In other words, we're chopping everything out of Galatians, which is also repeated in Romans. We're throwing that away, and we just want to focus on justification and say, no, that's the beginning. Well, that's not where justification was found in Paul in his Acts period writing. He was found in the land, as we shall see. Back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, and you know this one, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith. Look at this. Preached the gospel before to Abraham, saying, and you shall all nations be blessed. Hang on a minute. I thought Paul's gospel was hidden in God. No. The gospel of the mystery of Ephesians 3 was hidden in God. The gospel that Paul received in Galatians 1, not of man, but of Christ Jesus revealed to him, was preached before to Abraham. Can't possibly be hidden. Now can it? If it was preached before to Abraham by the scriptures, and you shall all nations be blessed. Now, I'm talking to those who know their scriptures, aren't I? But you know what, friends? It's not difficult, is it, to jump back to Genesis chapter 12? Because this is what Paul is referring to. And here it comes. Genesis 12, verse 1, and Jehovah said to Abram, go out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house, into a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. Oh, no, 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 no. You know, land and nation, justification by faith for the Gentiles, about to turn up in the next verse. And I will bless those that bless you, and curse the one who curses you. and in you shall all family of the earth be blessed. Oh, right! Genesis 12 verse 3 is justification for Gentiles who by faith became Abraham's son. And what is the next verse in Galatians chapter 3? In you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Paul speaks in Galatians 3:8 saying that in that verse the scriptures foresaw justification by faith through grace to the Gentiles. And does anyone know that the word blessing also turns up in verse 9? So then, those of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Oh, isn't that what Genesis 12:1-3 said? I will bless them that bless thee. In you all families of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 12 has justification by faith and its families of the earth being blessed through Abraham. That is not Ephesians. We are blessed in Christ in the above heavens, not on the earth. Are you beginning to see that justification by faith is not the beginning of the revelation of the mystery? It's in prophecy, it's in scripture, and it is embedded in the earthly purpose of God. And when we pull it out of Galatians, and we haven't even got to Romans yet, when we pull it out of Romans, because we want to pussyfoot and get cute with Scripture, we are ripping Scriptures out of their context, and that is not right division. I tell you what, that is handling the word pretty loosely. And I can't express it too much stronger than that, can you? So then those of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, and they're going to be blessed because all the nations of the world are going to be blessed in Abraham. And Paul says in verse 8 that the call of Abraham and the blessing of the world contained justification. Because I tell you what, those that don't have faith aren't going to be blessed with Abraham. Now are they? Now what did we have in Genesis chapter 12 verse 3. Did you notice that in Genesis 12 verse 3 that there were two words? Did you know the word bless? What was the other word? Oops, I left an S off there. In Genesis 12 verse 3 is bless. What's the other one? Curse. You noticed the word curse, didn't you? Well, stand by, friends, because let's go to Galatians 3 verse 10. And what word jumps out of the verse for you? Since the apostle, under inspiration, who certainly needed a revelation to find justification by faith for the Gentiles in Genesis chapter 12, what's verse 10 say? For as many as are out of the works of the law, these are under a curse. Oh, right! Could we say that the curse of Genesis chapter 12 is the curse of the law, trying to find righteousness by their own works? Blessings and curse? Well, it's something for you to consider, friends, isn't it? But it says on in chapter verse 10 of Galatians 3, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And that is a quote out of Leviticus 18:5. You'll find it, we've already read it last lesson, in Romans chapter 10 verse 5. So Leviticus is quoted in Galatians. And of course there are some who think that Paul had a progressive revelation. Well, there wasn't much progression when in chapter 10 of Romans, Paul is quoting Leviticus 18:5 again. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And tonight I thought I might jump over and see if James had a point or a thought for us. Remember James chapter 2 verse 10? And this is what James said. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So aren't we glad that there is no righteousness under the works of the law, which was wholly just and good, but an instrument of showing sin for its sinfulness and teaching and testifying and leading the nation of Israel particularly to justification by faith in their Messiah, their Messiah. Alright, Galatians 3:10. Now back to Galatians 3 again, when we turn up at verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is clear. Now he's not going to quote the law, which was Genesis. He's now going to quote Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, of course, found in Romans 1:16 and 17 and Hebrews 10:38. But of course, Hebrews isn't about the church, is it? Oh no, Hebrews is about those who have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God. Hebrews is about the gathering and the purging. Oh, Hebrews isn't about the church, which is his body, those who think Paul had a progressive revelation will claim. But of course, it's got Habakkuk 2:4 in it, hasn't it? As does Romans, as does Galatians. And I think we will find, friends, that Hebrews, Galatians, and Romans are all about Mount Zion. For indeed, Romans 11 says, the deliverer shall come to Mount Zion, out of Mount Zion, and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And if you want to compare mountains, go down to Galatians chapter 4, where you have Mount Sinai and the law. And that is Hagar, the law unto bondage, isn't it? The just shall live by faith, and there's justification required, a revelation for the Apostle Paul, but found in prophecy. And you know this part very, very well, don't you? Here it is. Behold, the soul of him is lifted up, and it is not upright, but the just shall live by his faith. And in verse 14 of Habakkuk, you know that it speaks quite clearly. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, the glory of Jehovah, as the waters cover the sea. And at the bottom of the chapter, Habakkuk 2:20, Jehovah is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. Do you think justification by faith in Habakkuk is about the church which is his body destined for heavenly places, when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and the Lord is in his holy temple, and the earth shall keep silence before him? Justification by faith in Paul in the Acts period is in an earthly setting, and there's no progressive revelation and extraction from an earthly setting to a heavenly one, simply because justification by faith is a continuing and glorious doctrine which is found both in Paul in the Acts period and in Paul after the Acts period. But justification by faith in the Acts period was for those who had supernatural gifts, those who were sons of Abraham, those who were going to be blessed with Abraham, and those who were not under the curse of the law. For indeed Christ bore that curse, did he not, in Galatians chapter 3, when he hung upon a tree. And I picked that up from verse 13 of Galatians chapter 3. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, I often wondered, how was I, a Gentile, redeemed from the curse of the law? How would I possibly be redeemed from the curse of the law? I was never really under the law. It was given to the Jews, wasn't it? No, the law stopped every mouth in the world as being all guilty. The law proved and demonstrated there was none righteous, no, not one, Jew, Gentile, Greek, it didn't matter who. Therefore Christ redeemed all from the curse, i.e. the all guilty verdict of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone having been hung on a tree. Now then, the quote, cursed is everyone having been hung on a tree, is in the law. And I hope you know where it is. Verse 22, Deuteronomy 21. Do you know it says this? If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and if he is put to death and you hang him on a tree. Well, of course, Christ was a man who had not committed a sin worthy of death, had he? But in fact, by him he bore sin and sins in his own body on the tree, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Verse 23, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him, do you see, that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. so that your land may not be defiled, which Jehovah your God gives you for an inheritance. Oh, look at that! Christ's bearing of the curse is according to the law, which testified of justification by faith. And Christ bearing in his body sin and sins is according to the law, and the curse of the law purified the land which was the inheritance. Are you beginning to see how justification by faith in Galatians 3 is tied to the testimony of the law and Abraham and the promise of a great nation and the earth and a specific land? I sincerely hope so. It therefore is not and can't be the beginning of a revelation of a called out company destined for the heavenly places where Christ is seated at God's right hand, and where a new and glorious and wonderful inheritance is now ours by faith in Christ. Oh, I hope these things are helpful, friends, as you read through Galatians yet again and take the time to go back and look at Deuteronomy and find, just like Habakkuk, the context of justification is the earth, and a curse being born on a tree is in a context of the earth not being defiled. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And you know, friends, those Jews and Gentiles of the X period, being Abraham's seed and sons and heirs, will in fact be in that land, won't they? And that land won't be defiled, now will it? Why? Because Christ was that, bore that curse of the law, in his own body on that tree, and he was taken down and buried that night according to the law, wasn't he? Isn't justification by faith and redemption wonderfully testified in the law and the prophets? And this is not the revelation of something that was hidden. Are you rejoicing tonight and seeing how the law spoke about all aspects of Christ's redemptive work? What a thrill if you are seeing this. Now then, in Galatians chapter 3, we come back and we're talking about promise and inheritance, and we come to verse 15 where it is said, Paul writing, I better put in verse 14, Christ the curse on a tree. Why? Christ bearing that curse of the law on the tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might be to the nations in Jesus Christ, verse 14 of Galatians 3, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, guess what? Justification by faith because of our Savior's finished work in Galatians includes justification and the promise of the Spirit. Now, we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith was identical with justification, and you can't extract the supernatural gifts because you want to be delicate and simply take justification out of Galatians 3, just as we can't take the land out of Galatians 3, as we're about to see. Verse 15, brothers, I speak according to a man, a covenant having been ratified even among mankind. No one sets aside or adds to it. And to Abraham, verse 16, and his seed, the promises were spoken, and it does not say to seeds as of many, but as of one. Here is justification by faith. Here is the blessing of Abraham on the Gentiles. And here is Paul saying that we cannot alter a man-made covenant back in Paul's day. Can't be altered. Once it was posted in a public place, how less then would God alter his promise to Abraham? Justification by faith is in an immutable covenant of promise to Christ and those who are in Christ and Abraham's seed. We cannot extract justification by faith out of Galatians 3 and discard supernatural gifts, the inheritance in the land, and we certainly cannot extract a covenant. Now, we did read that covenant in Genesis chapter 15, didn't we, last week, when Abraham was put into a deep sleep. Do you see? Here is a covenant. Abram in a sleep, God, a smoking furnace, the fire between the cherubim in the Holy of Holies, that Shekinah glory, the presence of Christ on the earth. And there is a covenant made and a light, a wick, a lamp passing through the cut pieces. That's this setting right here. Isn't that glorious? And this I say. Now I wanted to just refer you that Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 refer to the promise of the seed. Now verse 17, and I say this, a covenant having been ratified by God in Christ, do you see, coming into being 430 years after, does not annul the promise so as to abolish it. So the law came after an unalterable, immutable covenant. The law cannot annul the promise or abolish it. And you know, Christians are so... Some Christians. Gotta watch myself. Some Christians say, oh, the law was abolished. No, it wasn't. The law testified to the sinfulness of sin, and it witnessed to justification by faith, and is a schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. And I've said before that some evangelists use the law to show the sinfulness of sin to lead them to Christ. The law has a place and a part, and has never been abolished. But here in Galatians 3:17, the apostle says, the law did not abolish that which was given to Abram's seed by promise, by a covenant. That's not been annulled. Now then in verse 18, for if the inheritance is of the law, I should have read this verse, pardon me, it is no more of promise. Do you see? Oh, whoops-a-daisy. Let me copy Galatians 3:18 and try the post one more time. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by way of promise. Therefore, justification by faith in Galatians is linked to supernatural gifts. If you don't have them, well then, don't tell me justification by faith means that God had changed his purposes and the church had started. No, it hadn't. If you have the inheritance by promise in this context, then you can't separate justification by faith from the inheritance which is on the earth. If the blessing that was upon the nations was the blessing of Abraham according to Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis 15, then please don't tell me that justification by faith is the start of a church which is destined for heavenly places. Now, we, the Christian community, have promoted what is called replacement theology. What we've done is we've said, oh, the Old Testament was for the Jews, and the New Testament's for us. No, the New Testament is an unfolding of the fulfillment of all that God promised the nation of Israel, and what we need to do is study the Apostle Paul and those letters given to us that contain truth about our called out company destined for heavenly places, and you won't find that in Romans or Galatians. So then, now having seen that, we come to the fact that the justification by faith in the book of Galatians is linked with Abraham, is linked with the land, is linked with the purpose of God, it's linked with the law, testified from the law and the prophets, and it is an unfolding of a purpose found in the law and the prophets, not the beginning of anything new. And we cannot transfer a promise made in a covenant from a nation of Israel and say, oh, we are the church. No, we're not the church, Israel. Israel is the church, and we are the church which is his body. Okay, then coming down to Galatians 3, we move down to verse 22. But the scripture shut up all under sin, do you see, so that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. What promise? Well, promise is being spoken about here. What promise is given to those who believe? The promise of the supernatural gifts? Amen. The promise of the blessing of Abraham? Amen. The promise of the land that he's just been talking about in verse 18, 19, 20, and 21. And 20, you see? That's what the believing Jews and Gentiles also received in Galatians chapter 3. They were justified by faith through grace and had received the promise, I believe, of the inner portion. That's where the kingdom of heaven on earth will be, in the inner portion. Look, follow the Apostle Paul through the rest of Galatians 3. But before faith came, oh look out, here comes another variation of the but now. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, having been shut up to the faith about to be revealed. The law was a schoolmaster. Oh, that's the next verse. So that the law has become a trainer of us until Christ. And you know what the people who promote the progressive revelation say? They say, oh no, 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 no. The law wasn't a schoolmaster. You know, justification by faith was given to Paul by revelation. We have nothing to do with the law, but we have just been quoting the law all the way through this chapter. And it's all about a covenant, a land, supernatural gifts. It's not about the change of dispensation or the beginning of a new called out company. Now is it? But faith coming, verse 25, but now. The things that the Holy Ghost signified in Hebrews chapter 9. What the first tabernacle represented. What it anticipated. But faith coming. The offering of bulls and goats is now set aside. The offering of Christ has been accomplished. But that doesn't mean there's any change in purpose. Going on to verse 26 of Galatians 3, for you believing Jews and Gentiles of the Acts period, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I wonder if they wanted to pick that bit out. But the point is, a son is an heir. You can't separate the Son of God by faith in Galatians 3 with the inheritance. You can't get picky and say, oh look, they were a son of God. So what we cannot do is we cannot separate the fact that the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 3:26, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and then totally ignore everything he said in the chapter before about supernatural gifts, the covenant about the land, the justification of Gentiles in the great and mighty nation, and all families of the earth being blessed in you out of Genesis 12:1-3. We can't forget that. He says, for as many as were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. Being in Christ included the great redemption, forgiveness of sins, and justification. There in Christ, there cannot be Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham... Wrong. If you are Christ's, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise given in a covenant. Now next week, next lesson, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 4. And Paul resumes his statement about the law. Look at chapter 4 verse 1. But I say, over so long a time the heir is an infant, he does not differ from a slave, though being Lord of all. But he is under guardians and housemasters until the term appointed by the Father. Here is another but now. Under the law and its curse and its testimony about justification by faith, the call upon to have the heart, the heir existed under that burden, under that training, only until the time appointed. Verse 3. Even so, we, when we were infants, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But now, if you see, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, coming into being out of a woman, having come under the law. It doesn't say, but now God's completely changed his purposes and he's beginning to start the church. Oh no, that he might redeem those under the law, under its curse, so that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. And we are going to find adoption in Genesis chapter 15, and we will pick it up at that point next week. But all praise to our Heavenly Father, who by his word explains the word. Justification by faith in Paul in the Acts period is the clarification by a revelation of that which the law testified to, and which is in a context of supernatural gifts and an inheritance on the earth. And praise the Lord if you can begin to see these things. Father, we thank you for the fellowship tonight. We thank you for the word, and we rejoice in it. Through Christ our Lord, for all things we bless you. Amen.